the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
On the Edge with me, Catherine McMahon. How you doing?
I am so excited to be here, April. This is going to be so much fun.
I'm excited to have you, too. We have been talking about this. We got on the phone, and we just started vibing. We're both caregivers. We're both into marketing and promotion. We're women in business. We're women of faith. We have so much in common. This is going to be a really special conversation. And we're both Leos.
I know. Belated happy birthday to you.
An early happy birthday to you. You know, we're so misunderstood. Are you into astrology?
A little bit, yeah. Actually, I've worked with a brand astrologer recently on my business side.
Wow, a brand astrologer? So they pair up your astrological sign with your business and see if you are in line with the planets?
Yep, and actually that is one of the reasons why, even though tomorrow is my actual birthday, today is the day I am officially announcing and launching my rebrand.
You are, and you're doing it here on the Edge, right?
I am. Sneak peek for you.
Absolutely. Welcome to the party. We're back here on the Edge with Catherine McMahon, and she is coming in from Texas. She's there taking care of her mama, and I'm here in California taking care of my mama. We're going to talk about some caregiving, too. But before we get started, introduce yourself to my brains and tell them a little bit more about you, precious.
My name's Catherine McMahon, as April already told you, and I have had my own business now for 10 years as of April 30th. Although, as I already mentioned, today I am officially announcing my rebrand, but until this point in time, I was known as Chance to Grow. And I am a growth architect for small businesses. I love helping small businesses get the right foundation, both for immediate growth and for longevity. Because my big dream is to help 10,000 small businesses hit their 10-year anniversary.
Well, that's a mega dream.
It is.
Even to work in corporate America, I was reading, on the average, people do not stay at a company longer than 6 years. It used to be that mindset of mentality that, oh, I'm going to be here for 20 years. No, it's not happening anymore. And now, in this day of uncertainty, because I don't want to give people false expectations and say, yeah, we don't know what our future is going to look like and what stability is going to look like. But what we can do is we can have a strategy and we can have a plan for growth. So how did you even get into this industry of marketing and becoming an architect for small businesses? I like that.
So originally how I got into marketing, because this was not my dream. My dream was to be an intellectual property attorney, which is what every, you know, little kid's dream is. But when I was 17 years old, my dad had a friend who was patenting a product, and he asked me to help his friend name the product and do all of the market research. So that was kind of my first toe in the water for marketing. And throughout the course of even undergraduate and graduate school, I kept getting put in marketing roles. I was a buyer for a big department store chain, regional department store chain. So that was all about like product and pricing and marketing. And I kept getting all these marketing roles, and really God is an important part of my life. And I really think it was just him putting me on the path that he wanted me to be on. So yeah, my first marketing gig was when I was 17.
People don't understand what marketing is. They think marketing is sales. And they have they got to twist it, because marketing is positioning, it's showing, it's introducing, it's branding, it's consistency, you know, all of these things. It's reinventing yourself, you know.
It's all of those.
It's all those things. And so after you get that done, then you can take that piggy to market and try to sell it, you know, but you have to position yourself. So give us some tips and tricks that you might give someone that is in the process of rebranding like yourself.
The biggest thing is getting foundational. So if you go out on the internet and you look up the traditional four P's of marketing, it's product, price, place, and promotion. But I would argue there's three P's that lay the foundation for those four P's. And those are people, problem, and promise. So as you're thinking about either starting a business or rebranding or even just getting an evolution of your business, getting really clear on your people is super important. And if you're a small business, people actually means two things. One is who you are as a person, as an individual. And the second piece is the people you want to serve. So that's kind of the first P. The second P that you have to get really clear on is what problem do you solve? Like, what's the intention of your business? What are you trying to help people with? And the third piece is the promise. What's the transformation? Why should I work with you? And this works even if you're a physical product business. One of my clients did beet powder supplements, and the transformation was to give endurance athletes more energy, stamina, and help them recover faster. So there's still a transformation even if you're a physical product. Most people think of that word for like coaches and consultants and things like that. So,
well, I love your last one. I love how you say promise, because there is a promise, you know. Now, whether you can deliver on it or not, brains, that's up to you. And you should never overpromise and underdeliver. You know,
definitely.
I tell people all the time, you know, it's we got to work at this, and you have to be the one to close the deal. You have to work with coaches. You have to work with people that have experience in the industry. You have to ask the questions. You can't be shy. This is no time to dumb down. You need to really kind of go full throttle. You got to take surveys. You got to know what people want now. How are they redesigning their business? So why did you decide to rebrand and come up with Phoenix 818? And how did you come up with that?
So why I decided to rebrand is there were certain things about my pre-existing brand and who I was serving in that brand that I wanted to change and evolve. The name was also letting me play a little bit small, and it's kind of hard to admit that on like camera, but
why?
Because I was hiding behind the name Chance to Grow. In some ways, even though the original genesis for that name was two of my dogs at the time, both had Chance in their name, and it was, I had just lost one when I started my business, so it was kind of a hat tip to my dog. But what I do when I stand in my excellence in my zone of genius, there's not a chance about it. I'm going to give you a strategy that is going to help you grow. And I allowed the word chance to also help me play small. And it was time to be done with that. But also the type of customers I was serving, because I'm evolving not just the name, but also my product offerings or my service offerings. I was working with larger companies, and a lot of them had already reached their 10-year mark. And when God gave me this big dream to help 10,000 companies. And by the way, I kept trying to type it as 1,000, and autocorrect kept changing it to 10,000.
Wow.
So it is
wow.
Definitely not my number. When I realized that I wanted to help all these companies get to 10 years in business, that's the smaller companies. It's not the companies that I've traditionally worked with, which were anywhere from the $2 million range up to, I had one corporate client that was $2 billion since I started my business, but that wasn't my target audience, obviously. But I wanted to help a different group of business owners. And so I went back to the basics. Who am I helping? What problem do I solve? And what's my promise? And what I love about the Phoenix imagery is its longevity. Phoenixes are immortal. And you may have to change and evolve and grow over time, but it's a symbol of strength. It's a symbol of rebirth. It's a symbol in the Christian tradition of resurrection. So it also has the anointing of that resurrection cycle that Christ had.
Right.
And the 818 actually came, I kept getting the number. I kept seeing the number everywhere. And at first I thought, oh, it's an angel number. So I went and looked up the meaning. And God kept nudging me that, no, that's not what I'm telling you. So I went to the Bible. And I'm like looking at all the 818 verses. And what I realized he was giving me was the promise of Deuteronomy 818. And that verse is, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. And it's all about using our God-given talents to create wealth. And that's part of his promise to us. And so I wanted to bless my name and honor him.
Wow.
So the 818 is part of the name.
And you are going to soar like the phoenix, rising from the ashes, baby. Yes, you are. So many people do not put God into the equation. Well, with this COVID, I think they're going to be reevaluating that.
I think a lot of people are coming back to faith because of this.
It is. And, you know, but God is the center of my universe. I could sleep in the park and eat grass as long as I know that God is with me. You mm-hmm. walk by faith and not by sight, and you go back to the Bible a lot. How does that strengthen you and renew you versus control you and confuse you?
I don't really see it as controlling or confusion at all. Although I've certainly heard friends of mine use those words, to me, it's like a guidepost. Like anything that I have a question on, there's an answer for. And a lot of my friends who aren't necessarily very attached to their faith, part of that reason is they associate faith with religion.
Right.
And even though I do have a church that I go to every Sunday, because I love the pastor, he has such inspired sermons. But to me, it's about my relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that could exist inside a church building, or it could exist outside a church building. And so even in the years where I was disconnected from religion, God was always there with me. And some of that were really difficult times. And I had people question, well, you know, if your God's so good, why are you going through this? He has been preparing me for this relaunch and this shift and this big dream that he just gave me for the last several years.
Wow.
And he's reset my business. Like a lot of my business essentially burned to the ground in terms of, you know, I lost a big client contract. And then when COVID hit, I was working with a lot of local businesses that were hit severely. So they had to like stop our contract or pause the contract. So he was literally taking things out of my life to give me clearer vision on who he wants me here to serve.
You use the word serve a lot, and I am one that believes in service too. But are you one that is able to receive being served? Because sometimes we want to be a martyr. We want to give, give, give. Well, you know what? I was telling them at my birthday party the other day, I know how, when it's my turn, I know how to receive it. Do you know how to receive it?
It is something that has been a lot of evolution for me, especially in the past 6 to 12 months. And I think that was part of the reason why, again, some things were taken out of my life to put me in a position to be open to receiving. Okay. And so I'm getting better, not fully there, but I will also tell you that my love language is acts of service, which also, like, that's how I feel love. So it allows me to receive because it's how I receive love.
Why do you think people aren't so receptive to receiving love or receiving anything? I have a friend, you know, I was about to send her a gift and she goes, oh, no, don't send it to me. And out of love, you know, but it is kind of disrespectful because someone is trying to show you in their own way, whatever way that is, that they care about you, that they acknowledge you, that they honor you. Why do you think people have a hard time receiving that?
I think that they don't realize in receiving that that is also giving. They don't fully appreciate the symbiotic nature. So like, for example, when you invited me on, you sent me a little gift box. Like I have my mug with my water in. Yeah. Like you sent me all these little treats. But by me accepting it and not being like, oh, April, why did you do that? I don't need stuff or whatever. Like that's like throwing it back in your face. Mm-hmm. By being open to receiving, it allows that cycle.
Right.
With the gift giver or the person. It doesn't have to be a gift. It could be service or whatever. And the other piece of it, at least I see this more in women, especially when women entrepreneurs, They have an unworthiness thought pattern going on in their head. Mm-hmm. And this is something that, again, it's a constant evolution for me. Of I'm not worth getting whatever it is that somebody is trying to give me. And so it's really standing in our power and our confidence that we are worthy to receive.
Okay, let's talk about love and relationships. You know, that's a give and take type of thing too, on a whole different level. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about that? I mean, you know, if you're kind of having a little trepidation about receiving, you know, the gift, and you got this knight in shining armor that is trying to woo you, do you think that we pump our brakes as women because we're hesitant? Do you think that we pump our brakes again because of the unworthiness? Do you think it's fear? What would you say?
I think that's individualized. Mm-hmm. I can say for myself, and it's been a little while since I've been in a relationship, but
I don't know why somebody needs to gallop there. You in Texas, you got all those cowboys.
From your lips to God's ears.
That's right.
Because I am open to receiving that again. But I had a pattern in relationships of picking people that were much better at receiving than they were at giving. So I got to always be the giver.
Right.
And I didn't have to receive. And so, and again, I don't want to speak for anybody else's patterns.
No.
But for my own pattern, that was my pattern of not being willing to receive. So I just picked people that weren't going to give to me.
Well, I ask that because, you know, people are wondering, what is this block here? You know, and if they can't get through it on a personal level, they pour all of that angst and anxiety into their business. They make wrong decisions. They don't ever rebrand. I mean, I know a couple people that have had the same thing for the longest time. Now, don't get me wrong. You've got Coca-Cola, you've got Nike that have had this same branding. People know who they are. But again, it's ebbs and flows in your personal life, in your business life. And so if you take these two things that are combative and you lay them out and you go, wow, there's some parallels here. What can I do? Then they work with a branding expert like you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see it because you're looking at it from an objective eye. You know, You're saying, wow, what is important? So what are some key things that are important for people that are, you know, at an impasse and they're stuck, you know, in their business? What would you say? You know, would you say go back and kind of look at, you know, just not just your books or just your marketing or whatever that, but go internal, go deep. Would you suggest that?
Absolutely. One of the things that's been part of my whole rebranding and making sure that I've always loved my business, but I kind of fell out of love with my business for a while. And I think we should be in love with our business, but part of our ability to be in love with our business is understanding who we are.
Right.
And so using things like strength finders or, I mean, there's a million and one, there's Enneagram, there's CoBB, there's all these different ways of looking at who we are as individuals. And again, just to kind of caveat this, because you used Nike and Coca-Cola as examples, when it's a bigger organization, the business isn't about the person who created or founded it, but if it's less than, say, 20 employees, so much of the owner's personality as who they are ends up infused into the business, the brand, and how they show up. And so really getting a handle on who we are allows us to create a business around what's going to bring us joy. I mean, I don't want to, you know, be a Marie Kondo groupie, but that whole concept of spark joy.
Right.
We need to do that in our business. And when I started my business, I was doing a lot of execution work because it was right when Facebook business pages were happening and a lot more local businesses were starting to get websites and things like that. So a lot of the stuff people came to me for was build me a website, create my social media presence, things like that, which is all execution. Well, in my top 10 strengths on StrengthFinders, I have 6 strategic thinking skills. Mm. The only execution skill I currently have in my top 10 is responsibility. So, like, if I tell you I'm going to do it, I am going to do it, but I have to rely on the responsibility to do things that drain me. So when I was doing all this execution work and not playing in my strength,
right,
it was exhausting. And it doesn't mean I'm not good at it. I mean, I had 20 years in corporate, all sorts of different marketing roles. So I had the knowledge and experience, but it drained me. And I want to love my business. I don't want it to be a chore. I want to love my clients and I want to love what I'm doing.
Exactly. And I wanted to bring this full circle. That's why I asked you about, you know, relationships, and thank you for being, you know, open and a little vulnerable with regards to that. But relationship capital, and you just defined it perfectly. That is what people are looking for brains right now. You know, the dollars only are worth the value that we put on them. Mm-hmm. But the relationships, like the relationship I have now with Catherine, is inseparable. It's the emotional intelligence. It's tapping into people's emotions and figuring out what's important, because you want loyal employees. You know, you don't want some snake in the grass that's cooking your books or, you know, stealing the pens out of the employee stock room. You know, you want someone that you can trust. You want to be open enough to have that relationship with them that you can listen to what they're saying. You can take their advice. You can edit and filter. You can agree, disagree, and not be disagreeable. That's what's important right now in business brains, because we are going to have to collaborate a lot more. All of these smaller businesses, it's great that you're doing that, but I can also see and maybe hear you bringing 2 or 3 businesses together where they have certain strengths in certain areas. They can do that. Maybe it's an HR sector. Maybe it's an accounting sector. Maybe it's a manufacturing or research and development. But there are going to be core competencies that are going to link up. And that's what we need to do right now. We're going to have to rebuild this engine to make it work. So talk about rebuilding engines. You're a caregiver and I'm a caregiver, and girl, that drains my engine sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not a bad thing, but we have to be honest to that too. What do you do to recharge your battery?
Well, a lot of mine is spiritual practice. So meditation, prayer, reading spiritual texts, whether that's the Bible or, you know, even spiritual philosophy, things like that. Every once in a while, escaping into a good novel is also my answer. I use a lot of music because music feeds my soul. And I also use nature, although I will be honest, I miss living in San Diego because I spent a lot more time in nature when I was still living in San Diego than I have since I moved back to Texas. So,
well, you know, they've shut down the beaches and the parks and all that kind of stuff. But again, you can find nature anywhere. You know, I like Texas too, but it's the humidity, girl, just drives me crazy.
And last week was like over 100 almost every day with really high humidity. So I basically stayed inside other than when I had to take my dog out.
So tell me about your dog. What kind of dog do you have?
I have an Italian greyhound, which when people see them, they tend to ask, are they miniature greyhounds? Technically, they're not. But they kind of look like Honey, I Shrunk the Greyhound, because they have a lot of similar lines to the traditional full-size greyhound. And he is my fourth. I have had the breed for 25 years, I think.
Wow.
Something like that. Wow. So I will always have an Italian greyhound in my life.
What does a dog's love do for you?
Oh, it feeds my soul.
I know, me too.
They are the closest thing that I've seen in my human experience to unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Because dog spelled backwards is God.
Is God. I'm so glad you said that, because I almost did.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing like some puppy love, girl. It really is. And animals have a way of communicating with us without words. Yeah. I wish more humans would do that. It is. I mean, it's a sensibility. It's a calmness. It's a sense of appreciation like no other. You know, they sense when you're not feeling good. They can smile. They love to take pictures. Do you notice that, how dogs love to take pictures?
Not all dogs. My current one gets annoyed at me because he's so adorable that I always want to like take pictures, and he'll catch me doing it, and he'll deliberately like bury his head under a blanket. Like, okay, Mom, that's enough pictures for now.
So now you are turning a particular age. What would you tell a 25-year-old Catherine McMahon?
Really learn who you are and follow that. Follow your joy. Follow what you love doing. Don't buy into you have to strengthen your weaknesses. Instead, find your strengths and play in your strengths. And then, like you said before, find the other people around you that have different strengths and collaborate or ask for help. Don't buy into what experts tell you. Follow your heart. Or in my case, a lot of it is what I call God nudges. You know, he kind of taps me on the shoulder, and then if I don't listen after a few taps, he sometimes smacks me upside the head. But, you know.
Really? I'm telling you, he must wear a size 12, because I feel the kicking in my butt.
Yeah, there are times when, like, I felt the nudge and I've ignored it, and then it tends to show up in a much louder way. But, yeah, life is too short. And as you know, April, I lost my aunt and who is also my godmother a few weeks ago. Life is too short.
Exactly.
From the time she got diagnosed to the time she passed was a very, very short period of time. And she was the last, I figured she was going to outlive us all. Mm-hmm. And just, so if I could go back to my 25-year-old self, I would tell myself, stop doing what you're, within reason, stop doing what you're told, you know, and really do the things that bring you joy instead of trying to conform to somebody else's view.
Right. Absolutely. And merge all those things together and, you know, document them in journals, take pictures, great conversations, great videos, because we can always go back. We're not promised to go forward, but we can always go back and kind of regress and look and see where we were then and see how we have risen like a phoenix, like you are doing now. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they are looking for someone to consult to help them pivot in their business, some marketing, or maybe a great conversation. We're going to play some great games coming up. So we're going to have a version of the dating game. You may be back for that.
That sounds like fun. So the new website, which is literally launching later today, I'm waiting for the DNS to happen, is phoenix818.co, because somebody's parked on the .com. And that will be the new website. And the other thing is, if they just want to like network and get to know me, virtualcoffee.chat will get them a link to book a virtual coffee date with me.
Well, that's good. And I'm going to book one because I want to talk to you some more.
Thank that sounds like
you
so a blast.
Much, Catherine McMahon, for being here on the edge with me and my brains. I appreciate you. I value you. I want you to have the best birthday ever. Just,
Thank you.
Know, go out and walk your dog and get yourself a bottle of champagne and put it in your mug and toast it.
I was going to say, you don't know what's actually in my mug, right?
I know. People do. You don't know what's in this mug. I'm so glad that you're here with me. Thank you so much.
You are such a blessing, April. I'm just so grateful that we met.
I know. And we will be friends forever. Just pick up the phone or turn on the Zoom.
Right? Awesome.
I need you to go and subscribe. Hit that red subscribe button right there. You know where it is, here on The Edge. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're on iHeart. I don't know how we got iHeart, but we got iHeart too. So thank you so much again. And keep doing the work that you're doing. And know that you are shining in God's light. Because you look like an angel. You're just radiant. Your cheeks are all rosy. You look happy. And happiness is the key. All right. Keep shining.
Thank you, April.